John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Thursday, January 31st, 2013. Palestinian family killed in Gaza by a fire in their house, and UN fact-finding mission on Israeli settlements published its report. The stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. A Palestinian family of six was killed today in Gaza City after their house caught fire on the early dawn hours. The Palestinian police in Gaza said that the family was using candles to light their house when the furniture was set on fire. The family, father, mother and three children, the youngest is 4 months old, were moved to Gaza City Hospital. In some areas in Gaza, houses have only 12 hours a day of electricity because Israel does not allow enough fuel used to generate electricity into the coastal enclave. Therefore, many families in Gaza resort to using other means to get heat and light for their homes. Elsewhere on Thursday, the Israeli military announced that its forces managed to kidnap 20 Palestinian men from the southern West Bank city of Hebron after accusing them of planning to abduct an Israeli soldier. The army did not clarify when the 20 men were arrested, but said that they all confessed of planning attacks in the West Bank. In other news, the UN fact-finding mission on Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories published today its findings. According to the mission's report, the Israeli settlement in the West Bank and East Jerusalem violates the human rights of the Palestinians in various forms and ways. The report noted that the Israeli violations caused by the settlements are interrelated and mainly represented in the denial of rights of self-determination and systematic discrimination against the Palestinian people, which occur on daily basis. The report also stated that private investors have also enabled, facilitated, and profited from the construction of the settlements, both directly and indirectly. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Thursday, January 31st, news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hossam Kassis and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
Afghanistan, 27th of January. NATO troops killed three civilians in Laggar province, shooting them off their motorcycle. NATO is denying the report, claiming there were a bomb team with weapon and bomb-making material in their vehicle. Where inside their vehicle? Inside the frame tubes of a motorcycle? Is NATO trying to make the world believe someone was able to hide an AK-47 and a bunch of explosives inside a motorcycle? Afghanistan, 31st of January. Three Afghan soldiers were wounded and their vehicle trashed when their convoy hit a roadside bomb. Pakistan, 31st of January. Two members of a polio vaccination team were killed by a roadside bomb in Kurram Agency. The Taliban has attacked polio vaccination teams ever since a single U.S. intelligence operative foolishly assumed cover as a vaccination worker. This has led to a resurgence of polio in Pakistan. Pakistan, 31st of January. 10 mortar shells were fired from across the border in Afghanistan. They landed in Loli Farkin village of Ghulam Khan area in North Waziristan, according to officials. Yemen, 26th of January. Insurgents bombed the main pipeline used to transport oil out of the country. The flow of oil had just resumed in December after repairs to damage from previous pipeline bombings. Mr. Barack Obama, the U.S., its troops, and its drones should not be in any of these countries. It's not enough to wait a year and pull out of Afghanistan only. Bring all the troops and all of the drones home today.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com. On the 27th of January, anarchists in Toronto struck again. According to a communique posted to www.anarchistnews.org, quote, the presentation center of another new boutique loft development in the heart of downtown had its windows smashed and front signage and designer display kitchen paint bombed as another small gesture of our rage. We again disappeared with no trace into the night, leaving only the falling shards and a few stunned onlookers in our wake. The communique continued that this attack on a center of gentrification was retaliation for the hypothermia death of a homeless man who froze to death on the streets of Toronto, unnamed by police or the media. He died while places he could have slept indoors stood empty. The communique does not state if this was a closed homeless shelter or boarded up foreclosed homes. The communique for this action was posted by the Toronto Solidarity Cell on the 27th of January to www.anarchistnews.org. You may have heard of the so-called Fix the Debt Coalition. What they actually are is an organization of CEOs of major corporations doing everything they can to make sure no federal budget that raises taxes on the rich is ever passed. They have more in common with Grover Norquist, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, or the Club for Growth than with any real grassroots organization. They would rather stop sending out Social Security and Medicaid checks than pay more taxes on the huge salaries and bonuses they earn as the CEOs of corporations such as Walmart. Yes, Walmart is a board member of Fix the Debt. On the 30th of January, hundreds of protesters organized by Our DC stormed Fix the Debt's DC headquarters.
We don't know if this is working, if they can hear us, so we might just need to pay a visit. What do you think? Yeah.
We might need to pay them a little visit. Yeah. So we can go upstairs and we'll come back with a report back. We're going to see how they feel about us coming, because they're not coming down. So we're going to go up, pay them a quick visit, and we'll be down short.
Stop the greed and fix the debt. Stop the greed and fix the debt. Stop the greed and fix the debt. Stop the greed and fix the debt.
It wasn't just a few people going upstairs. It was hundreds of people storming into the lobby of the building. They were chanting, "Stop the greed at Fix the Debt." Earlier, one of the speakers outside explained exactly who would benefit from the political program that Fix the Debt is pushing.
If Congress approves the Fix the Debt main proposal, which is a territorial tax refund, GE, General Electric, and Microsoft will stand to gain the deal of the century. They gain to win $37 billion for GE. And Microsoft would gain $19.4 million in tax cuts. Yes, that is billions of dollars.
They are now exposed. Yep. This is just the beginning. We shall continue the onslaught. We shall continue to let our voices be heard. Once again, that's federal money. That's your money. That's our money. This guy, Peter Peterson, the billionaire, who put together a group of people that consists of over 90 corporate officers, former elected officials, Republican and Democrat. They got offshore accounts that they don't pay taxes on. They want to bring the money back to the states. They don't pay taxes.
Stop the greed and fix the debt. Stop the greed and
fix the debt! Okay, now we know just who and what Fix the Debt is. The question is this: are we stupid enough to buy into their voodoo economics? Dumb enough to think that letting CEOs keep more money will ever mean lower prices or higher wages for the rest of us? I don't think so.
We'll be back.
The 28th of January was a global day of action called by the First Nations Idle No More movement. Idle No More stands in opposition to new Canadian laws that strip Native people of their lands for the benefit of extractive industries such as tar sands mining in Alberta, Canada. Native people are being kicked out of their homes on both sides of the border to make way for oil. In North Dakota, Back on Oil is destroying trailers to evict Native American folks on the reservation. This is to make room for more oil workers for their shale oil mine, a project very similar to the tar sands mining project driving the Keystone XL. Here in D.C. on the 28th of January, Chesapeake Earth First and Rising Tide DC protested inside the offices of the Carlyle Group, a key investor along with Back on Oil, in a refinery being built by Philadelphia Energy Solutions to process Bakken's shale oil. Carlyle Group has an office at 1001 Pennsylvania Avenue in Suite 501. Here's what it sounded like when Earth First and Rising Tide invaded the lobby.
Excuse me, you have to take that out of
your We are here to disturb the tenant.
To disturb the tenant.
The reason for that is because you are harboring a company that is doing great damage. The Carlyle Group, which is supporting...
The security guards at 1001 Pennsylvania Avenue deemed they were no match for the protesters and called for the cops, who seemingly took 5 minutes to show up. A lot can happen in 5 minutes. When the cops finally arrived, they had the nerve to accuse Native American people and supporters of Native American people of trespassing on land Carlyle's landlord had stolen from Native American people.
Who are you organizing here?
There is no organizer.
You're on trespassing.
Come here.
We got.
We're citizens of this country, so we can go any place we want.
It's a problem building.
We like the acoustics. We like the acoustics.
No Bakken, no Carlyle, no destruction of indigenous land. No Bakken.
No Carlyle.
We don't regard it as trespassing.
We're not a trespassing.
So are you going to stop Carlisle from trespassing and destroying the lands of the free and the tribes?
The protests sufficiently shook up the Carlisle group that they sent someone down to talk to Louise Thundercloud, a representative of the Lakota tribe, after everybody had left the building. Here's what Louise Thundercloud had to say.
Yeah, because the Mandan, the Dasta, and Arikara tribes are tribes who took care of my family went to North Dakota.
Okay.
Okay, and to Canada. What Carlisle is doing is supporting Bakken Oil, who is extracting shale oil. Bakken is taking the doors off people's trailers on the reservation in North Dakota, evicting people to create housing for men to come here to work in shale oil. So this is why we came here today, to say, Carlisle, stop. Stop supporting these people.
Okay, Carlisle Group, now you know what the score is. Now you know why protesters showed up for the first, but probably not the last time at your office. You can put an end to these protests quite simply. Dump Bakken Oil. Pull your investment out of Philadelphia Energy Solutions. Stop funding a refinery for shale oil whose extraction requires poisoning Native American people and throwing Native American people out of their homes. On the 31st of January, TransCanada executive Tom Hamilton was all set to make a presentation about the Keystone XL pipeline at Woodlands Waterway Marriott Hotel in Texas. He didn't expect a direct action team opposing the pipeline to show up. He was there to make claims about pipeline safety, only to be interrupted at about 9:30 a.m. by Tarzan's blockade organizer Ramsey Sprague, with testimony and photographs of already laid pipeline with welds so bad sunlight could be seen through them from inside the pipe. The photographs were taken during the recent blockade where activists locked themselves in weighted barrels inside the partially completed Texas portion of the Keystone XL pipeline. Here's a timeline of how things went down. 9:30 a.m. Activists interrupts Tarzan's pipeline conference, releases photos of flawed welds on Keystone XL pipeline. 10:30 a.m. Three blockaders who are supporting Ramsey have been detained. 11 a.m. Three detained blockaders are now being released and escorted away. 12 p.m. noon. Ramsey has been arrested. That's a long disruption of a lying, faking speech about safety from Tom Hamilton of land-grabbing, corner-cutting TransCanada. Already, TransCanada has whined in court that disruptions and blockades of the southern leg of the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline construction in Texas have cost them at least $5 million. Maybe that eminent domain wasn't such a money saver after all. Sea Shepherd's Operation Zero Tolerance seems to be a success. After a month of little news, Sea Shepherd released this statement on the 31st of January. Last night at 23:30 hours, led by Sea Shepherd Australia, Sea Shepherd's ship, the SS Bob Barker, found the Nishan Maru and proceeded to pursue the factory ship. The Japanese security ship Shonan Maru No. 2 responded to the Nishan Maru and approached the Bob Barker following at a distance of 2 miles. The day before, Sea Shepherd Australia's vessel, the SSS Brigette Bardo, found the harpoon vessel Yushan Maru No. 3. The Yushan Maru No. 3 was heading west, and then proceeded due south to throw the Brigette Bardo off the track of the Nishan Maru. However, the Brigette Bardo decided to pursue the Yushan Maru No. 3 to force it to put as much distance between it and the Nishan Maru as possible. The Yushin Maru number 3 is now 400 miles from the Nishan Maru. The whaling fleet has not yet killed a single whale. All 4 Sea Shepherd ships were guarding the approaches to the Southern Ocean's whale sanctuary. An interception was made before the fleet could enter the killing area. Co-campaign leader and Sea Shepherd Australia director Jeff Hansen stated, quote, "We have visual confirmation from the crew of the Brigette Bardot that the harpoon mount on the Yushin Maru number 3 is tarped up and has not been loaded, meaning the fleet hasn't begun firing their harpoons. The Japanese whaling fleet is now scattered and being chased by the Sea Shepherd fleet." That statement from Sea Shepherd, which has 4 ships out to hunt the whalers, means the illegal Japanese whale poaching fleet is likely to go home empty-handed without ever killing a single whale. This in spite of the Yushin Maru number 2's illegal entry into Australian waters with armed Japanese Coast Guard members on board. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com.